And I would say number three, solid cost controls. You know what? It doesn't matter how much you make. When we talked about the high milk production, it doesn't matter how much you make, it's how much you keep.
Welcome to Rumination, the podcast that offers practical solutions to the challenges in our industries. Today's episode is Top Strategies for the Most Profitable Dairies. Hi, I'm Chris Gwynn, your host, and today I'm speaking with John Ellsworth of Success Strategies. John has, for over 30 years, served the dairy industry, focusing on farm finance. 23 years ago, John embarked on his own initiative, which was to create Success Strategies, with the goal in mind of helping his clients create and build successful strategic financial plans. John is a frequent contributor to farm media, including his often podcasts and on dairy business. So, John, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Sure. Thank you, Chris. Very glad to be here, and hopefully we can contribute something to help our listeners improve their operation. So thanks very much for the invitation.
No, absolutely. And thank you for your time. And as you point out often in your writing and your commentary, it's all about helping the end producers have do an effective job and produce quality milk and do it with low stress as much to themselves as possible. And your focus has always been on helping with that financial planning. John, in your experience, what are the top three characteristics of the most profitable dairy farms that you've come across?
Great question, Chris. I think I would say number one, high milk production, because frankly, that's the primary source of revenue that pays the bills on most dairy operations. So I would say high milk production is a must. You know, on Holstein, it's probably 80 to 85 pounds per cow per day. Jerseys, 60 to 65 pounds would be extremely good. But I'd say high milk production. The last few years, something that I've come to focus on with clients, and it's been a real, dare I say, success strategy, is limiting the number of heifers to the ratio of heifers to cows. And frankly, we've found that I'm seeing that 80 to 85% heifers to cows tends to be most profitable. And I said earlier, particularly the last couple of years, and I think it's because the costs have gone up so much that if it costs me, and I'm just throwing a number out there, everybody will have a different number, of course, but if it costs me $1,300 or $1,400 to raise her to 2 years to come into milk production, and I could have an excess of them and sell them at $1,100 or $1,200, that's not a real profitable situation. So frankly, the last couple of years, and I think going forward, to limit the number of heifers to cows is a wise decision on the part of an operator. And I would say number three, solid cost controls. You know what? It doesn't matter how much you make. When we talked about the high milk production, it doesn't matter how much you make, it's how much you keep. And so if your costs are out of line, that can be very painful going forward. And I find the people that are most profitable on cost controls, it's not like let's turn the screws down on every little area. It's not necessarily be the lowest in every area, cost area. But frankly, I think what really helps is the most successful people don't make excuses about why something's high. They make things happen. They'll make changes that can accommodate and improve that expense area. And you know what? Let's face it. None of us are perfect. No operation is perfect. Everybody has some cost that's a little higher than someone else. Sometimes, quite often, it can be a facility constraint, you know, so that's a very difficult thing. But those are the high milk production, the ratio of heifers to cows, and solid cost controls would be my top three characteristics of profitable dairies.
And you mentioned 80, 85 pounds. Can you expand a bit more on that link of what you've seen in the 23 years that you've worked and analyzing in depth your customers, the link between profitability and herd level production?
Well, I think you can't, to maybe oversimplify this, if we're at 65 pounds, 70 pounds on Holsteins, we just don't generate enough revenue to cover the costs. And I'm not talking about we're in a period last year, 21 and 2022 of high commodities, high feed costs. But I'm talking about in general, if we don't have the cash inflow, we're not going to cover the cash outflow, and that never is a good thing. But there's a definite correlation between milk production and profitability. However, as I said earlier about the cost controls, we need to make certain that the marginal increased cost of going, say, from 70 pounds to 80 pounds on a Holstein are not outweighed, do not outweigh the increased revenue for feed. Labor, we're seeing it there in a big way. All over, everywhere, because every worker wants to get paid more, as do you and I, of course. And so not making light of that. But we've got to make sure that the marginal cost of this increased production is less than the value of the milk that we're producing. And so the key is literally knowing your costs and the related break-even levels on milk production per cow per day, price per hundredweight, and the feed cost per hundredweight, or you could talk about it on a per cow per day basis. And I think break even is crucial because it's a difficult concept to get your head around sometimes. And I think that people tend to say, well, I know what my break even is. But the crucial thing on those various characteristics, you're basically saying if only one item changed, for example, if I lost 70 cents per hundredweight overall, that tells me that I've got to get my milk price up by 70 cents, or I've got to lower my feed cost or some kind of cost, not necessarily feed. Maybe you can't do it on the feed side. Maybe it's labor. Maybe it's repairs and maintenance, things like that. We've got to get our costs down overall to, and feed always gets picked on, of course, because it's such a big expense anyway, but in normal times. But the reality is, I think we've got to get the cost down just to hit the break-even level. And knowing your break-evens allows a producer to do that. And I think it's a critical tool that my clients use a lot.
Thanks for that. We'll maybe have some of our nutritionists growling as they listen to this. But the reality is we all accept that feed and inputs towards that make a significant impact on cash flow as well as your cost of production. And so being as efficient in production of forages or sourcing forages and sourcing ingredients is so important. And then driving that along with high production, because, you know, a big part of your initial production is just maintaining that cow. And so getting more out of the efficiencies of that cow that you can bring us even in high feed costs makes a lot of sense. So thanks for sharing those pieces of wisdom. And you talk a lot about the idea of measuring and measuring financial fitness, but other things, cost reduction. If you can't measure it, you can't control it as a means of establishing goals. Could you expand a bit more on your experience with that, working with dairy producers, and tell the audience a bit more on really the importance of measuring something that you can control it?
Sure. And first of all, I want to go back to our prior point, Chris. I love the nutritionists that I work with. They're fabulous people. They work as hard as anyone I know. And you know what? They, just like me, we're all part of the team and part of the plan. And I typically never blame them for high feed costs. It's usually something like they said, you should have contracted corn, and the client didn't necessarily. That's not the nutritionist's fault. You know, I think they do an awesome, just a fabulous job of maximizing production in our operations. It's just like legal stuff, legal tasks. I'd like to stay in my lane and not mess with theirs. And I'll ask them questions. I use them as a resource too for budgeting and things like that. It's a critical thing.
We can divert for a second, because you've also talked in the past about using teams and bringing teams on to make sure that the direction of the farm is going direction that it should be, and having everybody's input. So again, whether it's the banker, financial planner, nutritionist, veterinarian, AI company, et cetera, all those that have hoof trimmer have key influence on the dairy on directions they should be going. It's important that they're all talking. And it's amazing, as you point out, how the role as the nutritionist today has changed over the years from not simply just balancing rations, but really helping with that whole risk management, and ingredients is a big part of it. So shout out to them. So what we wanted, what I was hoping to talk about was the concept of measuring things so that you can control them. And I think this is often not done as well as we should. And it comes in a big play with establishing cost reductions. And so I wanted, or was hoping you could expand a bit more on that concept so that it continues to gain the traction it deserves.
Yeah, I love to talk about that. I call it the MUCI program, and all the, I didn't coin the phrase. I just used that little acronym because, as I heard Lou Holtz say one time, he said, "I have trouble remembering things, so I like to use that. I like to keep my life real simple, and it keeps me on focus for the things that I can contribute." This principle of measuring things, I really picked that up from my own business coach, Dan Sullivan, who is with the Strategic Coach Organization in Toronto and Chicago. Great individual, great thinker. And the whole concept really holds for almost anything in life you want to measure or that you can measure. It basically says, if you can measure it, you can understand it. And then stop and think about that. If we can understand it, then we can control it. And ultimately, then if we have control, we can improve it. So if you can control something, you're able to make it better. So this principle, we really can apply it to almost anything. You can talk about, let's talk about your whole team of salespeople. If we measure it, which we can do, we can look at it every week and we say, "John, your sales are down. Oh, what's going on here? Come on, can we make this better?" type of thing. Not in a critical way, but a productive, proactive way. If we measure it, we understand it. Well, maybe John wasn't seeing enough farms. Maybe he wasn't seeing enough dairymen in a week. So if we understand that, then we can control it. How do we control that? We get John out on more farms. Or you as my leader, my manager, go out with me and help me stimulate some more sales. And then we've controlled it. And guess what? Ultimately, we can improve it. Can we double my sales? I don't know. I'm not a born salesman anyways, and never claimed to be. But just as an example. But you can do it on your personal health. You can do it on your financial health of your household. Again, if we measure it, we'll understand it. You'll have a better picture. We understand it. We can then start to control things. Can we control everything? Of course not. But we can control some things. And those things, if we can control them, we can then go on and make improvement. And again, it's true for our personal life. It's good for our health. It's good for so many financial things. I just love the concept. There isn't anything I can think of that if we can measure it, you can't use that little acronym of measuring, understanding, controlling, and improving. I think it's, and trust me, I do this all the time, but I need reminders at times of how valuable this really is.
And I think on that, you know, one of the potential challenges we have is that there's so much data being developed or measured today on dairies, whether it's rumination, activity monitoring, feed intake, milk production components, airflow, and on and on and on, that we're not maybe taking the time to look at the data that's there that may be impacting the overall performance and therefore profitability. So something to keep in mind as advisors, but as well as dairy producers, that if there is effective and useful information being measured, even automatically, we need to find the time during the week. And this is easy to say, harder to do, but find the time to actually look at the key numbers that impact our overall profitability. And some of those are financial. And so taking the time to look at those financial numbers to help us direction. So measuring it, controlling it, and taking the direction.
Can I add to that? It's an excellent point.
Sorry, you made.
No, it's perfect. It's a great point you bring up. I think the valuable thing is that, take the nutritionist or the veterinarian, for example, in an operation. They will see things that I may understand what they're talking about, but I'm not an expert in that area. And I think it's really neat. And I think reproduction we've talked a lot about feed costs and production. So, but reproduction is, you know, we can't make milk without fresh cows. We don't make fresh cows without pregnancies. And if we're not getting pregnancies, so the pregnancies lead to fresh cows, which leads to higher production. And then novel things like milking fresh cows four times per day, it all ties together. But I think one of the points, I think you were trying to make this point, and I think it's an excellent point. It's a team effort. It's not about, oh, look how this guy did. Oh, he had a great year. That's all because of John. Heck, it's not because of John. It's not because of the vet. It's not because of the nutritionist. It's because all of us are pulling in the same direction. And ultimately, that's a win for the client. And that's what I think your organization and my organization as well. That's what we're all about. We want to make those things happen.
No, that's fantastic, John. So as we conclude, what would be some of the other key points that you'd like to leave with the audience today about profitability and milk production on their dairies?
I think 2022 will, without a doubt, will be an interesting year in the dairy industry. And I just think it's, instead of saying it's been a problematic type of day or week or month, we oftentimes need to think about it as Les Brown calls it. This was a character building day, or this was a character building week. We're going to have those in 22. Feed costs are really high. We're getting hit. Producers are getting hit with a lot of other price increases. Labor, interest rates are probably going to start going up in March. That's going to be a hit for people a little bit on the financial side. I think if you really step back and look at any operation, I think a lot of things, just about everything is going to go up. So assuming the milk prices stay up, the profits are going to be based on how well you do control these costs. And I'm not saying you're not going to have any increase, because I think we are. Everybody's going to get hit with some increases. But despite feed being a little expensive, or quite expensive, as some of my clients describe it this year, it's been 8 years since we've seen prices this high. It may be a good time to think about some price protection, because the fees, for put options and things like that on milk prices should be lower than they have been in the recent past. And I think there's some volatility in the market, but the cost of those put options is really based on how far out they go, what price level you set, and the volatility of the market. And I mean, things look pretty positive on the milk front right now, on milk price front, I should say. But never a bad time to put a floor under those prices, because you and I don't know. I admit I do not know what's going to happen 3 months from now. If I knew that, I always joke with clients that they couldn't afford to hire me, and I say that only jokingly, but it's certainly worthy of consideration. I think it's going to be a great year for dairymen, but it's going to be a better year for those that really watch their costs as best they can. And you mentioned it earlier, and I meant to hit on this again. I think the nutritionist, for example, and the veterinarian, they don't only offer what they did 20 years ago for service. They give another set of eyes in the operation when they start looking at cow comfort, freestall maintenance. Do we have enough water troughs? I mean, your company has a great set of products, and I can make a great offering on the financial advice side. But it's the implementation that makes it happen. And we still got to have cow comfort, fresh cows, as we mentioned earlier, and things like that. But I think it's going to be a great year overall, a very positive year. And I wish the best of everything to our listeners today, and hope they have a success-filled year.
No, absolutely. Thanks for those key points, John. And thank you for joining us today on Rumination, and for sharing your wealth of experience in improving farm profitability. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And just so the audience knows, if you'd like to know and learn more about John's approach to establishing financial health on your dairies or your agricultural operations, you can go to successstrategies.com. That's successstrategies.com. So thank you again, John.
You're welcome. Thanks, Chris.
And I surely want to thank our audience today for listening to us here on Ruminations so that you won't miss our next episode of Jeffo's Rumination Podcast. You can find us at jeffo.ca on Apple and Google Podcast, as well as Spotify. This podcast was brought to you by Jeffo Nutrition, precision nutrition for a growing world.